worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get out.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
It was a joke. It was a perfectly fine joke, and you ruined it. You crapped all over it.
Ian Hunter.
Look at me moving up in the world.
Mickey.
I appreciate somebody not wanting to kill me.
And Lazy E.
Here's some cake. Let it fester.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
It is a freak accident. I don't even know anymore. It's only going to get worse as time goes on. You know that too, right?
Oh, no, I know it will.
Welcome to our podcast. My name is Crisco. I am here with, we're a man, bold man down. It's me, it's Lazy E, and it's Ian Hunter, and we are missing Mickey.
Well, she's on assignment.
Yeah, she's on assignment. Yeah, she's actually at WrestleMania 32 in Dallas, Texas this weekend. And her and Murderer are traveling even as we speak. So obviously, she's unable to be here. But that's fine. We will hold it down nonetheless. What, Ian?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how mad is Mickey that she has to be where she's at right now?
Oh, I'd say probably close to 10.
I'm going to say probably an 8, because Dallas is cool.
Mickey is very apathetic, too. Like, she just doesn't give a crap about anything. So, she's probably just like, yeah, whatever. Here I am, another experience.
She's probably said that exactly.
I don't doubt it whatsoever. Hey, listener, be sure to visit our website. It's afreakaccident.com. You can always send us an email about absolutely everything. Anything. We love hearing from you. If you've got a news story you want us to tackle, if you've got a comment on a news story we've already talked about, you want to compliment the show, insult the show, whatever, reach out to us, freaks@afreakaccident.com. It's pretty simple. While you're at our website, by the way, click connect on the menu bar. You'll find links to all of our social media sites there as well, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more. Speaking of Instagram, Lazy E now on Instagram.
Yeah!
Get
it!
Yeah.
Ian, which means we're looking your way.
Ian's the only one of us without an Instagram.
I will hold off. I will never.
Whatever.
It's pretty fun already.
And you've joined the dark side.
Yep, I have. You can find us on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, all that good stuff in the Connect tab. And, so just go there. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes as well. That's handy just because it automatically delivers the show to you every single week. You don't have to go looking for it. It'll be delivered right to you. And if you enjoy us, help us out by giving us a good review. Every good review helps our standing in the podcast community. And, you know, the bigger we are, the more we can do for you. So we would appreciate it.
And as I say every week, if you don't like the show, give your bad comments to freaks@afreakaccident.com.
I did already say that. That's
no,
fine.
The bad comments.
I did say that, too. You want to insult the show. I specifically said it
insult
5 minutes ago.
Insult the show, not saying it's bad. You can insult us without saying we're bad.
Really? How does that work?
You say, Lazy E's ugly. And then that's insulting the show, a member of the show.
No, it's just true.
Oh.
You're 5. You're 5 years old.
Yeah. You can't grow a beard. Nah. Neither can I, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure why.
You both suck.
I can at least
you
grow.
Can't even make fun of me for losing to a door because you lost trying to get into the studio today.
That's true.
Listen.
I can at least grow a manly goatee and look like, you know, mirror, Crisco. Star Trek fans know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do. I know, and I'm not even a Star Trek fan.
Yeah, evil Spock had a goatee. Evil Crisco has a goatee.
I can also grow a goatee, but Hopper Teacher does not like said goatee, so needless to say, I don't have it.
So no, you cannot grow a goatee, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I cannot grow one.
But maybe Ian should grow a pair.
So it's kind of weird this week. I'm not going to lie to you. It's weird not having Mickey here.
I know.
It's peculiar because she's always got some sort of smart remark to interject into the conversation, usually when she's making fun of Ian.
Smart in loose terms.
Yeah.
She's not here. I could say this. It's great.
Yeah, then we're going to be the recipient of all of her built-up rage next week when she comes back.
It's a great segment.
I suppose so.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Ian, so no inanimate objects or anything this week give you problems? You know, everything was straightforward and basic?
No, I did learn the definition of perfect comfy, though. this past week.
Oh, yeah, perfect comfy. Yeah.
What's perfect comfy?
When Ben Bailey pioneered that concept, I think.
So perfect comfy is essentially when you're laying in bed or you're laying on the couch and you're so comfortable that you're saying, screw it, I'm not moving for anything.
Oh, okay, then I know what that is.
I believe he describes it as you don't, like, for instance, if you're in bed, you don't know where your ass ends and the sheets begin. It's a perfect situation. You are just, like, levitating in comfort.
So it was me that experienced the perfect comfy. It was actually my wife's dog. So
How do you know? Did the dog look at you and go, don't touch me, I'm perfect comfy now.
No, trust. She didn't have to say anything. Trust me. So I'm talking to my father-in-law. We're sitting there for about 25 minutes watching the March Madness games. And, my wife walks over to the dog, starts petting the dog.
Wait, can we say that? Is that legal?
Yeah, no, we're allowed to say that.
Oh, okay. I never know anymore.
Yeah, you can't even actually tell what we're allowed to say. Anyway, so my wife goes over and starts petting the dog, who's been laying there as long as my father-in-law and I have been talking. And she sits there. She goes, oh, my God, the dog pooped. She was laying there, never moved. And
that's
said,
amazing.
Yep, screw it, not moving. Yeah,
man, to great. Find that, you know, just euphoria in my life, I mean, you'll never see me again. This show will end because you will never get me out of my bed.
But you may end up pooping without heading to the bathroom after we eat what we're about to eat.
Ooh, yeah. Nice segue there, pal. You are a radio professional.
That's what I like to think.
You notice that the first segment on this show has become a tradition of eating things the last couple weeks?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, we did the superfood, the cake with the spinach, tomato, and bacon a couple weeks ago. Chocolate cake it was.
Which was fantastic.
Last week was the Easter ear cake, which was super weird.
And phallic.
Yes. And this week, well, no, it would have been the opposite of that.
Oh, yeah, it would have been.
No, don't say it. Nope. Just don't even bother. And this week we have a, you know, well, Ian and I were very excited because last weekend he and I both went to see, actually it was a happy accident, we ended up in the same theater for Batman v Superman.
You two have a lot of quote-unquote happy accidents running into each other. I don't believe them anymore.
It's called fate, and it has intertwined us. So. Yeah.
Back off.
Yeah, don't be jelly. Anyhow, we were in the theater together for Batman v Superman, and right before the movie started, there was a commercial for Burger King's new thing. The Angrier Whopper?
Angriest.
Is it the Angriest or the Angrier?
No, the Angriest. They did Angrier already. You don't understand. I wait for the Angry Whopper. They don't come out with it every year. So I was waiting year after year going, when is it coming back? Also says something about my health determination. But it finally came back, but it's better than ever.
Yeah, it is the Angriest Whopper. The funny thing is, he got so excited, you texted another guy we work with, Brent, and he was like, the Angriest Whopper is back, and he's describing what it is. It's got, like, the red bun with the hot sauce baked into it and everything else, and Brent's like, you shut your mouth right now! He's texting him back.
The exact word was, shut your effing mouth!
So we decided what better thing to do than to try it ourselves.
To see if it's truly angry for you, the listener.
Yes. And to maybe choke on air. I'm sure that'll be fine, too. Are we going to record this?
We could. We
Why
could
not?
If we want to.
Hey, whatever.
So we have it divvied up into threes, but we wanted to see what the perfect complimentary drink is. So Ian has an orange soda with himself. Crisco has a beer. And I am the control group with water. So you will know.
Nothing makes sense. Nothing.
So this is like a pairing we're doing. We're doing you an extra favor right now. There is a camera on me and the light was really, really bright. And now
we're getting scientific on this show.
That's right. We're not just fart jokes. We are
scientific fart jokes.
Yes. Yes. After this burger, maybe. That might actually happen.
I'm not recording this because I can't balance the video and do the
thing forget
at the same time. So, all right, give me the give me my quarter from here,
all right.
or my third. Yeah, math was not my strong suit. I'm a physicist. Not
Here's the thing: I could just care less for Burger King too. So this is gonna be just interesting.
Burger King, you could still sponsor us. Just okay. Letting you know. God, what is this? What this is
just
all?
Just grab
like,
a piece of the burger.
It's still stuck to the other one.
Right. It's like cake. You got to peel it away from the other piece of cake.
We're a cake-centric show.
I love cake. All right, you ready?
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Well.
Actually, not bad.
That is damn good.
It's hot. It's spicy.
Well, it's got jalapenos on it, too.
Yeah. And falling over Crisco.
Uh-huh.
Oh, geez. Ah! Oh, no. Wow, that does have some burn to it.
It's got some back burn. It's not even up front. It's the rear burn. Rear naked burn.
Mm-hmm. And it's good with Orange Crush, just for the record.
You should probably save some of this for the Instagram picture.
Nah.
No? It's gone.
All right, I do that. Yeah.
Well, the burn is, it comes out kind of out of nowhere.
So how was it with the orange soda?
Not bad.
The beer?
I haven't drank the beer with it yet.
I'm sorry, what was that?
This is, rather the beer I'm drinking.
Is Dreamweaver by Trogs.
Oh, well, that's good.
I love Trogs.
That is good. Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not super hot, either. It's perfectly manageably hot.
You get used to it, too, as you're eating.
Ooh, the beer is a good pair. Mmm.
And listener, in case you were wondering, the water tastes like water.
It tastes like zero calories. In other words, sadness.
Yeah, yeah. So my life.
I like it. That's a pretty good burger. Yeah,
that's the thing. The hot, didn't mean to interrupt you. The hot actually is just the initial hit. You're like, oh wow, this actually does have heat, but it's a good heat.
Plus, for somebody like me, I mean, I like spicy food.
Oh yeah,
it ain't nothing. Yeah, like I said, it's not bad for Burger King. I mean, after, to be honest with you, once you've experienced Five Guys, everything else, every other burger kind of pales in comparison at that point. But that's not bad. You know, in a pinch, you need something to eat, you need something to snack on, I would definitely take that. It's a shame that it's not around permanently, that it's only like a limited time thing.
That's why it's so popular.
Right, yeah. If they were smart, they'd do it more often.
Mm-mm. It's like the Shamrock Shake.
Yeah, oh yeah, like once a year.
Well, the McDonald's also does the McRib. People go nuts over that.
So how are they going to improve on this, though? Because it was angry, angrier, angriest.
Crisco. What? The Crisco burger.
Are you inferring that I am somehow angry, deep-seatedly angry?
I don't know. Are you out of jokes?
Angrier than the word angriest? I somehow transcend that, even.
Yeah. I think that's a compliment by me saying yes.
I mean, I'm not going to deny that I'm a very angry person.
Yeah, no.
I tend to be unhinged and violent and, you know, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I'd say get the Angriest Whopper if you're hungry.
Try it. Yeah, I'm going to have to go get one for myself, like the entire thing. I'm not sharing any more with you guys.
Yeah, no. No, no, no. Let's get fat individually.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially how Ian and I are talking about the two of us getting a gym membership together and, like, getting into shape. And, yeah, that's not going to...
We're padding the results. If you gain a lot of weight, you're going to lose it really fast.
Right, and it looks better. Because you start like a cow, and then you trim it off, and when you're a lean, mean machine, you're like, yeah, look how much I've done.
I got to call time out. So you two go to see movies together, and you're going to get a gym membership.
I told you, fate intertwined. It's perfect, is what it is.
Are you against equal opportunity for marriage?
No.
Don't be mad just because you don't have what we have.
I'm just mad you didn't invite me, jerks.
Because we are a respectful couple. We are monogamous. Yeah. You're sick.
This guy love is only one-on-one, sir.
Yeah. What are you? What are we, monsters? God.
Sorry to our Mormon listeners.
They're not listening to our podcast.
That's probably true, yeah.
We just lost all of Utah.
Yeah, well, good. You heard me.
Brutality. On today's show, we have a news update. Everybody loves a news update. A slew of news stories in the news update today. We've also got, you heard us mention this in our last episode, and we didn't get to it. We kind of did with that segment what Jimmy Fallon tends to do with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Which is, we sort of bumped it to next week.
Is it Kimmel or Fallon?
Oh, Kimmel. Yeah, okay. I say Fallon?
Yeah, you did.
I meant Kimmel. Stop being named Jimmy, all you people. And so, worst places to take a poop. We mentioned that last week. Didn't get to the segment, so we will touch on that this week. We've got a review of Batman v Superman, obviously, because Lazy E and I saw it. And you'll be happy to know, because Ian has yet to see it, it will be spoiler-free as well.
Ooh,
so you will not have to worry about being spoiled, because we will respect our man in the room here. And, of course, we've got wrestling talk. WrestleMania 32, slash WrestleMania star is this weekend, and our pal, the Doc Chad Matthews, he is a wrestling expert. He's from lordsofpain.net and wrestlingheadlines.com. He will be joining us to go over the last couple things that we see happening as we head toward the grandest stage of them all. So, yeah. It's a jam-packed episode. Like always, let's unpack it. It's a freak accident.
I stained my shirt with the Angry Whopper.
Most pathetic thing I've ever heard in my life.
Here's what listeners are saying about a freak accident.
It's the best show ever.
Whether those listeners are our moms or not is totally not important.
News update.
Yeah. You know, this kind of segment is actually a fan favorite at this point.
Oh, yeah.
From the feedback that we've got, everybody loves the news updates. And how can you not? It's like quick hits on some news stories going around in your life.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't we start with, you know, something that really is just, I mean, it's, well, yeah.
You're a mean one, Mr. Trump.
He is a mean one.
Yeah, and apparently so is his campaign manager. The guy's name is Corey Lewandowski?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Lewandowski. I don't know if he pronounces his W's as V's. I don't know. It's
W's.
Yeah.
That name just sounds like it belongs to a jerk, though.
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah. He looks like a sniveling little slime ball, too. Did you see him?
Oh, yeah.
His face? Like, that smile, man. You know he's up to some crooked backroom dealings, is what I'm saying.
He's on Trump's campaign.
He's leading Trump's campaign.
That's what I'm saying.
That's about as crooked as you can get at this point. He has been charged in Florida with simple battery. It's a misdemeanor charge for his altercation with a Breitbart reporter, Michelle Fields, back a couple weeks or months ago, I think.
A little over a month ago now.
Single A or double A?
What?
Single A or double A?
It's a battery charge. It's a really bad battery joke, but it is a battery joke.
I don't know if I mentioned that the name of the town in Florida is Jupiter. I don't know why, because I was waiting for him to make some stupid gas giant joke, too, while we were at it.
That's stupid.
We've already had enough science on this show for E. Yeah.
Apparently, he was arrested Tuesday morning after turning himself in on the misdemeanor charge of simple battery. It all stems back from, it was an interaction that occurred at a Trump rally. Michelle Fields tried to get in to ask Trump a question. And he, like, reached out, grabbed her, I guess, very tightly by the arm, enough so that she bruised. Like, she posted photos of her bruised arm. So he grabbed her and, like, yanked her back and, like, yanked her really violently away from him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so in Florida, simple battery is it's even an unwanted touch is considered simple battery.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be, you know, a punch, you know, or like a, you know, an elbow or anything like that. Literally, you know, manhandling someone out of the way of, you know, where you're going is still considered simple battery. So the fact that this guy has, like, no self-control over himself, I mean, well, then again, that makes sense. Trump campaign, again.
It's not his job to move people, though. If it was a Secret Service person, totally different argument, but
it's funny too, because there was a very swift pivot, because originally he was like, this guy, Corey Lewandowski guy was like, he told her you're delusional, I never touched you, as a matter of fact I've never even met you. That really quick turn to, well, she wasn't supposed to be trying to talk to him, so I had to move her. It's like, now wait a second, just a second ago you said that you never even met her. So
it's almost like you expect a second later him to go, I'm resigning from Trump's campaign.
Well, I don't think that's gonna happen.
Within three tweets.
Yeah.
I don't think that's gonna happen, and Trump said he won't get rid of him either.
That's, you know what?
That's so Donald Trump.
Yeah, right.
I'm convinced he got himself so deep into this GOP race that he's like, I gotta find a way out. Okay, I'm gonna support this guy who committed battery on a woman.
Yeah.
Let's go!
You think, like, you really think he doesn't want in anymore, and he's just too embarrassed to admit it, so he's hoping he finds a way to lose so that he can just say, oh, well, it wasn't meant to be, shucks.
That guy's ego will not let him quit.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably a good point. I hope that's true, though, yeah. Because God forbid if he ends up being president.
I mean, Donald Trump's going to have a hard time getting the female vote. I mean, you have this issue with his campaign manager. And then last week, he tweeted out a very unflattering picture of Ted Cruz's wife next to Donald's wife.
Yeah, he dragged, like, the whole thing's, they always say, keep families, wives, children out of the political thing. And he dragged her right in because a super PAC somewhere sent out a picture of his wife that his wife had done in a magazine shoot, which was public knowledge. It's out there in public. They just said, hey, look, here's your next first lady if Donald Trump wins. And he's like, how dare you do that? It's like, it was in a magazine, bro. Like, you know, everybody's seen it. It ain't a surprise.
And his wife's hot. Who cares?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's her.
Yeah, I'm married to her. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that shriveled grape of a Oompa Loompa that is Donald Trump is married to that woman.
I know. Well, money talks, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You could buy anything from the Ukraine, apparently.
Well...
When there's dodgeball, you know who to call. Team Titans, that thing flying
so,
at your
face
above.
Why are you shaking your head?
Team Titans.
Don't be insulted.
I just remember this show on Cartoon Network.
Yeah. I never actually saw it. I only saw clips.
It's Team Titans Go, right?
It's Team Titans.
Yeah.
That's it.
Go. Okay. No, it's Team Titans Go. They just said Team Titans Go.
I didn't know there were two different shows. It just said when I got it, it said Team Titans.
It's Team Titans Go. That's where that song's from.
I don't care.
By the way, the Trump song was from College Humor, too.
Oh, cool.
Oh, good for those guys.
What about grade school humor? Those people can be funny, too.
The dodgeball story.
It just seemed... It's not even a dodgeball story. Apparently, in West Virginia, there's a game called Dodging Arrows.
Only in West Virginia.
That sounds remarkably unsafe.
It also sounds like you have to win this game.
Yeah, well, obviously you do, because this kid did not win and he's dead. He's a 15-year-old who died when he was struck in the head while playing a game of dodging arrows at his friend's house. Criminal charges could be possible, according to authorities.
You know what his problem was? He doesn't know the 5 rules of dodgeball.
What is that?
The 5 D's.
Oh, the 5 D's?
You've got to learn the 5 D's of dodgeball.
Dodging
dodge,
arrows.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. Yeah.
See? That's what he needed to know.
Dodging arrows, not dodgeball.
It doesn't matter.
Well, how this game...
You still got to learn how to be, like, you know, spry and nimble and get out of the way of things.
Yeah.
So how this game works, from what I'm gathering, is the guy will shoot the arrow up in the air in a straight line, and they have to move out of the way before it comes back to Earth.
It doesn't seem
that hard.
That was in Grown Ups, the movie Grown Ups. Didn't they do that?
I think so.
And the implication was that, hey, look at how stupid this is because you can die. And some West Virginian looked at that and said, that's a great idea for a pastime. I'm on board.
Come on, honey. Also my cousin.
that was good. You know what? Not speaking ill of the dead, but you're playing this game. You kind of had it coming.
Yeah. No, I support that 100%.
I'm speaking ill. He's freaking stupid.
Yeah.
Fortune! Yeah, the easiest game in the world.
Yeah, you just got to know how to spell and speak.
I'd be screwed.
Yeah, that's literally, I would be doomed myself because you've heard me botch very simple words in the past.
But this guy, this 23-year-old, destroyed the game.
Which blows my mind because you don't think big winnings when you think Wheel of Fortune. It's like you usually come away with a couple grand, maybe, you know, you get a nice car or something, you get a trip to Paris or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, even when you put his answers back to back, you know he owned the show. I mean, you could listen to it on his audio back to back. You could just tell he just dominated.
Pat, I'd like to solve the puzzle.
Okay.
Exhilarating water slide.
That's it.
Woo! 3 wishes.
Holy moly, that's what they say. $76,086. Wow.
That is ridiculous.
Sajak sounded really upset. Like, he sounded mad that this guy was doing so well. $76,000. Wow.
It's because Pat Sajak is ultimately depressed all the time. He's never happy. But that wasn't all that he won.
No, he won 76 grand and not one but 2 cruises.
The two
boat trips.
The taxes this 23-year-old is going to have to pay are going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's only 76 grand. It's not like he won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
And then the cruises. On top of it, you're going to be paying some decent cash out of your pocket.
What's amazing is he solved one puzzle after seeing just one letter, D. The answer to the 14-letter, 3-word puzzle was port and starboard. Wow. That's
he's way smarter than I am.
How did you guess that when you only have one?
Well, they do give a like the subject.
Yeah, but it's usually maybe something so vague. It's like thing.
Wow,
what in the world could it be? You couldn't like you know maybe like parse that down a little bit further.
All right, Pat Sajak, you want the most entertaining Wheel of Fortune ever? Just have us on the show.
Oh,
oh that would be great.
Yeah.
Can I buy a vowel? N.
Yeah, put, sure. Put my anger and fury on national television. That's a healthy idea for the country.
Yeah, Vanna goes running. Please help me.
Just hope I have jokes as we're heading into that segment.
I'd like to bid, Bob. Wrong show, Ian. Yeah.
What is A?
Final answer.
It's not even your turn.
Where are the suitcases? I'm in the wrong studio. Yeah,
I'll take the box.
Do I get to spin the big wheel? I land on a dollar. That means good, right? Nope, wrong wheel.
I am the weakest link. What?
Oh, God.
Everything's just everywhere, and it's all over the place.
Easter bunny, looking kind of funny with your basket of eggs.
So Easter is one of the kind of like, it's really a second rate holiday. Oh, everybody wow. always overlooks it. You know, it's hardly Christmas. Come on now.
Not only that, you go to the mall during Christmas, you see Santa and you're like, oh, that's awesome. You see the Easter Bunny taking pictures? It looks like a serial killer.
I'll be honest with you, that's one gimmick that I never bought as a kid. The Easter Bunny always just seemed too ridiculously far-fetched.
Yeah.
It's too much. Why doesn't he blink? Why doesn't his mouth move? This is stupid.
Why is he laying eggs?
Yeah.
That's simple. Simple question.
I'm so confused. Easter's a weird time. But either way, you end up with your family, you know, and like families can suck, especially if your parents are these parents. These adults ruined an Easter egg hunt at the Pez Candy Factory. In Connecticut. Orange, Connecticut is where this took place. This is the third annual Easter egg hunt that they do.
You see, these are terrible parents. Not only are they going to ruin it the way you're going to say it, but they took them to the garbage candy factory to do that? Pez.
I love Pez.
Oh, it's like chalk.
Pez dispensers, you can collect them. Some of them are worth money.
I like Pez dispensers. Mm. The candy inside is garbage candy.
Nah, so I like Pez.
It's garbage.
You want to fight about it?
Yeah.
Go outside.
Yeah, Ian, go take care of that.
My
for me.
Smile's gone, you pig. Anyway, so
you like Pez.
You want to put us on Instagram, you two fighting?
You go right ahead. It won't be long. It'll fit into that 15-second video category. I promise you that.
I love you.
Love you too, pal.
The marriage you two have really has gone full circle.
Yeah. So you've been to Easter egg hunts before. There's nothing like to hunt. They just scatter eggs all over the freaking place, yeah. And you just go out and grab as many as possible.
More annoying than anything.
Right, yeah. See, when I was a kid, I remember the one, I forget where it was that did it, but they actually used to hide them. Like, you'd actually have to have some sort of, you
skill.
Know, sleuth skill to be able to discover where the eggs are hidden and find them. A lot of these places, they just scatter them all over the place, all across the ground, you just go out and get them. Anyway, it's for kids. You know, yeah. They say go, the kids run out, they start picking up eggs or whatever. Apparently, a bunch of adults ruined, and police had to intervene because the adults were running out, not only shoving kids out of the way, but grabbing eggs out of their hands so that they could give them to their own children. That happened.
Well, that's two wrongs. First of all, they're hitting kids, obviously, and their kids are lazy. Just go out and grab an egg.
Yeah.
What, was there gold in it?
I don't know.
There must have been a prize. You know how some of them have the secret door prize and you get that.
Here's the worst thing in the world. To quote a 4-year-old.
Oh, boy.
Somebody pushed me and take my eggs, and it's very rude. They broke my bucket.
I can't disagree with anything that kid said.
Oh, no. No.
Was it also Lazy E who said that? He's having a conniption over here.
Of all the things that could have broken him over the years, it was this.
Because I picture him going, all that line you just said, they broke my bucket.
I feel so bad for this kid.
Oh, I know, and he's hilarious.
I want to punch these people in their throats again and again until they spit up blood.
Great, teach the kids. Two wrongs don't make a right. You don't hit the parent.
Yes, they do, because I will have the last laugh, and that is all that counts.
Literally, they'll be dead. You'll be the only one laughing.
Happy Easter. Good luck resurrecting that, you swine.
What?
Wow, that took a dark turn.
I found my way out of Egypt.
Pull out your lighters, everyone.
I found my surprisingly obvious way out of here.
This guy tried to.
Yeah, no, he did. He tried to take the hard way out.
Yeah, and,
the martyr's path, as it were.
Yeah, didn't work.
You heard about this story, right, Ian?
You're going to have to enlighten me.
It was a fake hijacking.
Oh, okay. Now we're on the same page now.
It was completely fraudulent. The guy was totally bluffing. It wasn't a real bomb. But he had a bomb thing strapped to his chest, and he was threatening the plane. The plane had to have an emergency landing. Some people got off the plane. He was holding the rest hostage. This went for hours.
What's amazing about this story, that's a story in itself, but everybody's talking about the other part to this story.
This is the one in Egypt, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But this is the big news that came, and not just how stupid that guy was and the fact that he wasted everybody's time.
Let me take a selfie.
Yes!
But Ben Ines? I don't know. He's 26 from Britain. He stopped to get a selfie with the hijacker guy. Hey. Although, I'm upset more than anything about the fact that the news is calling this a selfie. It's not a selfie.
Even his mother said, this is not a selfie.
Yeah, a selfie is when you take the picture yourself, you know, by your own hand. It's very obvious he handed his camera to somebody else and they took the picture of him with the hijacker, not a selfie.
That's the worst part.
Yeah. Hey, excuse me, could you just get my picture real quick with this guy? On the plane, while he's still being held hostage, he's like, hey, man, can we pose for a picture? I love this picture. You can see it on our Facebook page, too, by the way. And I love that even the hijacker's kind of got, like, this smile on his face. Like, hey, great. You know, very cool. Good photo memory.
I love that
Kodak moment.
This wasn't, like, after they found out it was debunked. It was a failed terrorist attack. They thought this was still a bomb, and he thought, I guess at that moment, what the hell?
Yeah, that's what he said. If it was a real bomb, it wouldn't matter anyway, but he wanted to get a closer look. That's what he said.
Yeah, right.
Although he looks super happy to be there. Look at him. He's like, all right, I've never been a hostage before.
Is it inappropriate to call it a photo bomb?
Oh.
Ian, some decorum on that.
I don't want any decorum. That was genius.
Oh, my God. That was pretty good.
or to put it another way, you could say this was a photobomb.
Yeah!
Got to hand that one to Ian, though.
Yeah,
that was all you,
good.
Buddy.
That was pretty good.
All you.
My first one. I'm very proud.
Yep. Yeah. You should be happy. So I love this picture. I don't. Well, I mean, I guess. Hey, in that situation, whatever. You know, hashtag dying soon.
Yeah.
Well, the guy who had the supposed bomb, didn't he do this because of something his ex-wife did, or he's trying to profess his love to his ex-wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was trying to meet back up with her, and, well,
it seems like the perfect way to do it.
Instead of buying a ticket, obviously you take a plane hostage. That makes total sense.
Right. I wanted roses. I brought you people against their will.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing says love quite like a hostage situation.
See, maybe we took it all wrong. Maybe he really was a nice guy. After he took them hostage, and if it did work, on the way to his wife's house, he was going to teach them how to sing a song to really profess his love to his wife. That's what it was. Kiss from a rose. They'd all be sitting there and go, ah. See?
This show has everything.
I wish this guy didn't take me hostage today.
But I'll stop and get a selfie before I'm on my way.
You remain sitting in that chair right now, or else I will blow this plane to pieces and you'll be going to hell.
Hijack this plane all day.
It's okay, the real Seal song, that's when you actually fall off too.
you're right. So
that was the most brilliant spontaneous sing-along we've ever had, I think, ever. Yeah. So, yeah, that's your news update.
Yeah. Congratulations, everyone.
So this guy's in jail now. Yeah, your wife doesn't want you, pal. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sure Bubba might, though. Now, up next, the worst places to take a poop on a freak accident.
Well timed.
If you need to listen to a freak accident, we've got what you need.
Oh, perfect.
You can find us on iTunes, the TuneIn Radio app, Spreaker, Your Nightmares, the Stitcher Radio app, pretty much every other podcast app, or wherever podcasts are downloaded. So pick one. We don't care which one. Just make sure you're listening.
I know what to do when I'm about to poo. I go to the potty, pull my underwear down, and then I sit and wait. Sit and wait.
I'm so glad Growing Sound decided to throw this together. See, I'm being flummoxed by it.
Yeah, it's a little odd.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah, we're moving. Woo!
Why are we talking about this again?
Well, because we want to know where not to poop.
That song was so uncomfortable, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I would argue, whatever this list is, this is the worst places to number two.
Yeah.
I would argue that number one has to be pants, right? That is going to trump everything on this list.
This list would have been a lot funnier if it just said number two.
It was all number two. Yeah. Every number on the list was number two.
I will nominate going on the living room floor like the dog did. As number one.
No, because pants, you're carrying it around with you, though.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, see? Told you.
Well, living room floor has to be number two then, right?
You can maneuver around that, though, is what I'm saying. That what I'm talking about, it stays with you.
Yeah, that's your life.
Anyway, the worst places. Number two, the office bathroom. Wait, this is worst places. That is one of the best places, in my opinion.
You get paid to poop.
Yeah, you're on the clock. It's wonderful, especially if you can get there like when nobody else is coming in. Oh, it's wonderful.
The only bad part about it is the cheap toilet paper.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, one ply.
This stuff falls apart, you know, or either that or it's like just, it's bark. It's tree bark in a roll, and it's terrible. Carve yourself up with it.
Gross.
Ugh. Number 11, the office bathroom middle stall. So we're sticking with the office bathroom. Why the middle stall, though?
Because you're stuck, and people are going to start talking to you. And the one rule in
a bathroom. Has this happened to you before?
Yes.
The middle stall?
Yeah, not at work, but middle stall in general. They will start talking. Rule in the bathroom, at least in the guy's bathroom,
no
you
talking.
Don't talk. Yeah. You don't.
Is it weirder for this to happen at work or to random people at a public restroom?
Worse at work, because you know those people and you have to face them with that kind of stank coming out of you.
You might end up with that congressman or whoever he was. Remember he was like doing like the foot tap thing? I think he was trying to play footsie underneath the... Yeah, that could be a... fault with the middle stall.
If you have a problem with that once, someone tapping your foot and trying to joke around, the second time it happens, make sure you have pudding in there and just wipe it on your shoe. You'll never do it.
Number 10, the bathroom at the bar. That is true.
Oh, yeah, that's gross.
Those places, I don't know why. Maybe it's because everybody's drunk, but nobody picks up after themselves at all. They don't even try. It's like they don't even aim.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's filthy in there.
Not even the toilet, but there's urine all over the floor.
That's what I'm saying.
Let alone
they
the
don't,
toilet seat.
I'm saying they don't aim, and it's awful. Like, come on, guys. What, are we beasts when we're out in public?
Well, it's because everybody's doing the L7. You know, you lean against the wall, and you're like, oh, God, I wish I didn't. Just going everywhere.
Number 9 is anywhere when you were just swimming and you have to try and pull down and then pull back up a wet bathing suit. So,
I get
like,
that.
When you're swimming, and because like that, the bathing suit sticks to you. You know, you got to like get it. It's never. Folds properly. It never comes. Yeah, it's not smooth.
I'll raise to the beach more specifically because now there's sand everywhere.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That would get sticky.
You feel the scrape. You know when you try and
scrape.
It's on the toilet paper. It's just a nightmare.
Number 8, airplane. Never tried it.
No, I won't try it because I'm terrified of flying, and that's all I need to do is die on the toilet. That's probably gonna happen to me anyway.
Happen to you anyway. I have done it on an airplane.
You're talking about pooping,
yeah,
right? Okay.
No, I definitely haven't done that on an airplane.
If I did that on an airplane with my megacolon, that'd be like dropping like a weapon of mass destruction on a town. You'd kill somebody with that.
Didn't that happen a couple years ago? There was an airplane flying over a town, and they let loose the bathroom, and all this excrement fell over the town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's awful. That's why you shouldn't do that.
That's a really bad day right there is what that is. Number 7 is the co-ed communal dorm bathroom. Same thing as the bar, I would say. Nobody picks up after themselves. Everybody in the world is filthy, apparently.
And I know a friend who went to a college around here. This one, they always try to compare it. So no one flushes. Everybody's like, hey, check it out. So you're just piling at that point. That's gross.
At school, when you were in elementary school? Why? Why elementary school specifically?
Go ahead, Ian.
No one wants to be the kid who had a poop in elementary school.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Or the stink kid.
You'd get made fun of.
Aha, yeah. You pooped.
Yeah. Number five, gas station.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's just, that's self-explanatory.
Take the bar and elevate it. You got trucker filth coming through there. No, I mean, you know, no disrespect, obviously, to any truckers listening to this podcast right now. I love you guys, but you're disgusting.
Yeah, you stink.
And you can't drive.
Oh, mate.
Nope. Number four, hotel room on a trip with your significant other.
Yes.
Especially if it's the first time you and your significant other have gone out in this instance.
And also because the toilets in the rooms are always low flow.
Yeah,
they do not get the job done.
That's
ever.
My natural enemy, the low flow.
That's your kryptonite?
Yeah, well, that's my kryptonite. We're battling.
I want to read the Megacolon comic book series. Megacolon is the hero, and his kryptonite is low flow.
Yeah, Megacolon versus low flow.
Is Henry Cavill going to be in this movie?
Yes.
Number three, porta potty at Coachella. I would argue porta potty anywhere.
Yeah.
Porta potty at St. Patrick's Day Parade in Scranton.
Oh, yeah.
Not only is it just a festering pool of, you know, but there's always that option that someone's going to push it over.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're bathing in that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's worse than having your town inundated with crap from the sky.
Yeah.
Number two, your in-laws? What? Why specifically?
Oh, yeah. You don't want to you clog that toilet?
You've had this problem, haven't you?
Next question.
I think it's worse whenever you're dating. If you're already married, then what are they going to do? Yell at you? But no, when you're trying to make an impression.
See, number one, your bed. Come on. Mandatory.com with the swerve at the end. Oh, you were expecting something. No, your bed. Yeah, no kidding. Your bed would be a terrible place.
Unless you found perfect comfy, then it's perfectly okay.
No.
That's a good way to take that. Yeah.
Ian. God.
Write that down, children. Those are words to live by. Up next, our review of Batman v Superman on a freak accident.
A freak accident. It's like a dumpster fire scented air freshener. There's absolutely no point.
I can melt a glacier with my optic lasers.
I can beat a whole gang with a single batarang.
Guns have no effect on me.
Is that right?
Yes.
Kryptonite.
Ooh. Any foe you can beat, I can beat faster.
I can beat any foe faster than you.
That's the Batman versus Superman song. The Injustice music video from the Warp Zone.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect way to start our review of Warner Brothers and DC's new movie, Batman versus Superman, or Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
And everybody went into it with bated breath because the reviews went down to like 30 by the time we went to go see that.
I think it's like 29 now, right?
Yeah.
Well, I went to talk to you, E, the morning that, for the last Friday morning, and you and I were talking about the reviews, and I was so nervous for you, Crisco. I'm like, you know, this guy's been looking forward to this movie for over a year, and it's supposed to be terrible now.
Since it was announced.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I was kind of heartbroken going into it because I was like, this is going to be terrible. Like, I've really been looking for it. And I was bummed. Like, I was actually nervous because I was like, I'm going to hate this movie and it's going to break my heart. My nerdy little heart is going to shatter into 1,000 pieces.
But you know what? You went in with such low expectations that it couldn't disappoint you.
And you know what's funny? I've seen a lot of people saying that because of the reviews, they've had such dour expectations that they've actually been surprised at how good it ends up being. Because I'm not going to lie, I do not know what movie the critics were watching, because the movie I saw, I really enjoyed it.
I think it was simply not just the critics, but some of the purists out there, the comic purists, that expected like a Citizen Kane movie, and they should have just been sitting there to enjoy it. Plus, they didn't like how they explained everything because they already knew everything. Talking to from a person that does not know anything about the DC universe.
Yeah, you're not a comic book reader or anything like
that. No. So coming from me, who went into it viewing it how it should be, a movie to enjoy, I loved how they explained it to me. I thought it was a great movie. I don't think it was like the original Avengers great.
No.
But it's in the right direction to build towards Justice League.
And see, this is interesting too, because Lazy E, and this is not a knock at you or anything, you are kind of your, excuse me, your average Joe Schmo moviegoer.
Yeah.
You know, you're not like, you know, picking apart the narrative. You know, you're not following the plot threads and criticizing, you know, the characterization. You know, you don't have like the mentality of an author perhaps going into this.
Well, no, because I figure if you go in doing that, I could do that, but then you're going to ruin every single movie you go to see.
Right, and you're also not a huge comic book fan, like we said, so you're your average person going to view this movie, and you liked it.
I thought it told me a story, it entertained me. Yeah, not the best comic book movie I've ever seen, but it's building to a bigger cause.
Let me put it this way, and this is pretty much my thoughts in a nutshell. Is it perfect? No. Would I have changed some things? Absolutely. You know, we said this review is spoiler-free, obviously, as well. I mean, there are a few superfluous plots I would have ejected in the name of spending a little bit more time with these characters, especially with Superman. Like, I wanted to see in the movie a little bit more of an exploration of him and Clark Kent. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like because we barely see Clark Kent much in the movie. You know, it's implied at one point, this isn't really a spoiler, but he's living with Lois Lane, and we only see them together in their apartment for like 2 minutes.
I know.
Over the whole movie. It's like, I wanted to see a little bit more of that, you know, a little bit more of an explanation there. What is funny?
I know. His mind went to a wrong place when he said that.
Yeah. You said 2 minutes, that's all he needed, that's where my mind was going.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're a terrible person. I got it.
You know, I didn't say the joke, I kind of danced around it.
Yeah, faster than a speeding bullet.
But I would have spent a little bit more time, you know, we could have lost a couple plot lines, obviously. You know, you could have tightened the narrative a little bit. But, I mean, on the whole, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I think it was definitely better than, I mean, comparing it to more recent comic book movies, I definitely say it was better than Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was anywhere near as good as the first Avengers, you know, or, you know, Iron Man or Winter Soldier or Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously. Yeah. But, I mean, I would say it was, here's what it was. It was a perfectly serviceable movie. It was just fine. It was enjoyable. I thought the acting was awesome. Ben Affleck as Batman. Is that what you were going to ask?
That was what I want to ask. I mean, we can talk about all this, but the nitty-gritty, especially online, people are saying that Ben Affleck is the best Batman ever.
And I would say, I still personally think the animated series Batman is the best Batman ever.
From a movie standpoint,
okay,
though.
Live action, though? Yeah, absolutely. And I've said this before to a couple people I've talked to. I said it to you, actually, E, that Affleck owned the crap out of this role to the point where I'm watching this movie, I forgot it was Ben Affleck.
I know.
I'm like, this is Bruce Wayne. Like, this is Batman. This isn't Ben Affleck playing Bruce Wayne. This is freaking Bruce Wayne. It is mind-blowing. I thought the acting was fine. I thought Henry Cavill was just fine. Gal Gadot was great as Wonder Woman. She steals the show. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody's disagreed about that.
No, that's actually one of the things in the early reviews or the early things talking about the movie. They said, keep your eye out for Wonder Woman because she's going to take it away from every, even for the little amount she's on compared to the others. She is the star.
I even found I was surprised at how much I bought into Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor.
I like it as much as some people didn't like him.
Yeah.
I like, because again, people, this is building to a bigger movie. That was a nice transition of showing how Lex Luthor became what he was.
Right.
You know, what he is, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
It was great.
I mean, I was surprised how much I enjoyed him in that role. And I mean, like I said, all the acting was great. Jeremy Irons as Alfred was right. Jeremy Irons,
yeah,
he was spectacular. I said I liked the acting. It's a perfectly serviceable movie. Is it perfect? No. Could it be improved? Absolutely. There's a couple real easy ways to do that, but I definitely would argue that it's way better than 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, easily better than that.
If I'm giving it on a 5 scale, I would give it a 3.5.
Okay, if we're rating it on a scale of 1 to 5, I would probably rate it, yeah, I'd probably go 3.5. I'd probably lean more toward a 4. You know what I mean? I'd be leaning, but I'd say 3.5 is probably a fair rating. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do I have time to say why I don't like Superman at all? Drive real quick.
Go ahead. How fast is real quick?
I hate the fact that Superman's alter ego, Clark Kent, gets a job at a major metropolitan newspaper with zero experience. He just walked in and got the job.
I'm seeing a bit of resentment here. Maybe.
There's some resentment.
Maybe some projection, some transference going on.
Where did he go to school? Where did he intern at?
I didn't see him scraping around in Punxsutawney. What's up, Soups? Come on, man.
All right. Well, let's let Ian calm down.
So there you go. 3.5. I think that's a perfectly fine rating. Like I said, much better than what the critics are saying. Go see it. I guarantee you'd enjoy it.
Absolutely.
One other thing I'm excited about, too. We've seen two trailers already. The Lego Batman movie.
Yeah. I saw that, too. That looks pretty awesome.
It looks amazing. Oh, so excited about that. Up next, WrestleMania weekend is this weekend, and yes, we got the doc here to guide us to it. It's a freak accident.
Hi, this is WWE Diva Becky Lynch, and you're listening to A Freak Accident.
Welcome to my house.
It is finally the week of WrestleMania. WrestleMania 32. I'm sorry, WrestleMania Star.
Yes,
how foolish
yes.
am
Come
I?
On.
WrestleMania.
Does
32.
That mean I don't have to hear this song anymore after this week?
No, you'll definitely have to still hear the song. It's one of the most popular songs in the country right now, dude. There's no getting away from it. It's everywhere.
And you know what? It's gonna be played in your house.
That was nice.
So yeah. It's WrestleMania.
You were planning that all week, haven't you?
I have.
It's WrestleMania 32, WrestleMania Star, because we're doing the emoji thing now every single WrestleMania. Do we know what next year's is yet?
WrestleMania Poop.
Poop symbol, right?
Yeah, the
emoji for poop. All right, yeah. Well, I look forward to that. But in the meantime, it is the week of WrestleMania. We are finally here. Excitement is building. Like, you know, there's always a bunch of crazy events and stuff going on the week leading up toward Mania. You know, we got TakeOver Dallas coming up, all the Access stuff and the news coming out of that.
The Hall of Fame.
Right, the Hall of Fame ceremony, of course. Who could forget about that? But, of course, since it is the week of WrestleMania, biggest time of the year for wrestling fans, we got to check in with, I've said it, our correspondent, our fifth mic in spirit. You know who he is.
Doctor! Give me the news. I got a bad case
of suffering succotash, son.
You're really doubling down on the singing along thing.
Yeah.
It's the Doc, Chad Matthews from WrestlingHeadlines.com and LordsOfPain.net. Doc, thank you once again for joining A Freak Accident.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. It's great to have you. And, I mean, you got to be super excited yourself because you are in Dallas. You're there live for WrestleMania. Are you stoked?
I am very excited. No question about it. I always get excited whether I'm there or I'm at home, but I'm particularly excited to be a part of what could be the largest crowd in WWE history.
Now, are you just doing WrestleMania, or are you doing NXT Dallas, and are you doing the Hall of Fame as well?
This year, it's just WrestleMania for me. I've done the circuit before, but I kept it simple. I'm traveling with my stepfather this year. He wanted to go to a WrestleMania with me at some point, and he's getting on up there in age, so he's gonna go to Dallas with me.
Nice.
So this obviously isn't your first time to WrestleMania. How many have you been to in the past?
This will be number 5
for me.
Wow. I've been to 5 of the last 10.
Wow.
Oh my God.
So I mean, you're an avid you're one of the chief correspondents in the wrestling world. So I mean, you would have to keep up on WrestleMania, I would assume.
Well, and in addition to that, if you've ever been to one, it's like eating a can of Pringles. I bet you can't eat just one.
Yeah.
If you can just go to one WrestleMania, then good for you. Because that certainly, once I got a little piece of that, I wanted to, it was like an infection. I just kept coming back.
Well, I appreciate you giving my wallet that warning. So thank you for that. I'm very grateful. So it is WrestleMania 32. Now, a lot of people have called this, I've seen the term thrown around, mid-card mania. Almost as like a sort of a snide remark, sort of, but I look at it as this could be maybe the most unique WrestleMania in recent memory, anyway, perhaps of all time, because you're looking at a situation where they've been put in this spot because of all their injuries and everything else to their top guys, where now we're finally getting to see these guys a little bit lower on the card step their game up, and really, you're talking all these guys are going to be hungry for that WrestleMania moment. So I think this could be really, really interesting this year, and I guess you would have to agree, right, Doc?
Sure, absolutely. I think that there's a lot of guys who, if you would have told me 3 months ago, would have been prominently positioned at WrestleMania this year, I would have been surprised. So now you've got the likes of AJ Styles. Dean Ambrose is obviously in a much higher position than I would have predicted a few months ago. Kevin Owens is going to be featured in a ladder match. You got the Divas, who, if you said 6 months ago, would have been in a featured match at WrestleMania, that would have been surprising. So I would agree with you, yes. I think it's going to be a very strong under to mid card for this year.
What match do you think steals the show?
I would be very surprised if it wasn't Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar. Dean Ambrose is, for all the people that have said that this year's WrestleMania build has not been that strong, I would counter that because of someone like Dean Ambrose sort of organically getting that push to the top, because his push, make no mistake about it, that was a change from the original plan as early as the Royal Rumble.
Wow.
So Royal Rumble, Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar was penciled in, and that seemed very obvious. And the going thought process was going to be at Fastlane, Bray Wyatt was going to interfere to get into this segue into the feud with Lesnar for Mania. But Dean Ambrose was so good all year up to that point that they changed course. So I love that. That to me is what I remember of WrestleMania being all about when we were younger, is you go with the hottest guy and you put him in the biggest position that you can. And Brock Lesnar's in that spot that Undertaker used to be years ago, where because of the streak, it was sort of the de facto third main event when there were two world titles. Now Brock Lesnar, having defeated the streak and built up the stature he has, Brock Lesnar is a main event. So Dean Ambrose is essentially in a main event. And that, to me, his momentum reminds me a lot of Macho Man circa 1987 coming off the Intercontinental title match with Steamboat. It reminds me of the momentum that Austin built up in 97. It just seems similar to that. So you take Brock Lesnar, who is still one of the hottest commodities in the game, you put him against Dean Ambrose, who's been the hottest commodity in 2016. It seems like a no-brainer that that match is going to be the one we're all talking about after Sunday.
So do you think Dean Ambrose goes, like, you think his rise continues after this then? Like, obviously this isn't going to stop here.
I do. I think absolutely. I think he comes out of WrestleMania as the clear-cut favorite for the rest of the year, being sort of Dean Ambrose's year, so to speak. I know WWE may very well want Roman Reigns for it to be that way for him. But if you want to look at it that way, then, you know, there's going to come a time when they're going to have to go full throttle with Dean Ambrose, and the crowd's asking for it. They're on board with pushing him well up the card. So post-WrestleMania Raw, I mean, it wouldn't shock me to see Ambrose back in the title picture. So I think Ambrose is going to have a big year.
So Dean Ambrose is going to have a big year. That's why he was putting against Brock. But you mentioned how Bray Wyatt was supposed to be in that match, but now they have nothing going on. What do the Wyatts do at WrestleMania?
Oh, man. Well, at this point, it wouldn't shock me to see them show up in the Hell in a Cell match. It wouldn't shock me to see them show up during the Ambrose and Lesnar match. I hope not. I really hope that if they're not going to have a match, I mean, they weren't even on the final go-home Raw. This may just be a year where you just want to just punt with the Wyatts and say, okay, well, we'll pick back up with them on the night after WrestleMania, because it's been such a disappointment for those guys to be penciled in to face Brock Lesnar, to go to where they are now. I mean, if creative didn't come up with anything for them to do at WrestleMania in an official capacity, then I don't see why they would bother even putting them on the card at all. I think this is a time where you just say, okay, well, we'll pick back up with these guys after WrestleMania and we'll get back on track. It says something to me about the way WWE feels about Bray Wyatt, that with all these injuries they've had, they weren't able to find a spot for him, even with their revised plan. So that wouldn't half surprise me to see him not even on the card at all.
Which I think is really a shame, because, I mean, he's probably, I would argue, the most interesting character that they have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe I would say Dean is probably close there, but I'd say Wyatt's probably one of the most interesting characters that they have. And that'd be a shame if they just can't find anything to do with him.
It would be. It's a shame already. I mean, Bray Wyatt is unfortunately the victim of a set of circumstances in which the more organically over, hotter act just simply overtook him. And my hope, to be honest with you guys, is that Bray Wyatt looks at everything that's happened over the last 8 weeks and it lights a fire under his butt. Because I think you could make the argument that while, yeah, he is a very interesting character, his character has not evolved very much in the last 2 years, to the point where you would think, putting it this way, Bray Wyatt is at a point in his career where WWE creative should have come up with something for him, even after plans changed. And the fact that they didn't, that should say to him, I'm not doing everything that I can. I need to get that fire back and get to the point where they had me facing John Cena and Undertaker in my first two WrestleManias. Hopefully this ends up being a positive for him in the long run. But for right now, it certainly is it's a bit of a downer. I'm disappointed for him.
I'm not going to lie, Doc. For a minute there, when you started that last statement, you said, my hope is that Bray Wyatt, and for some reason I thought you were going to say, becomes Husky Harris again.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, that would definitely be a character evolution. Nobody would see it coming.
You know, I saw a couple theories about the Wyatts, and this is a far-fetched one, but it's a good plan out. This is why certain people should be writing for them.
Like you? Are you talking about you?
No, this isn't me at all, but yes.
You're
please.
Trying to get a job.
Hey, you know, whatever. But the somebody said, instead of the Bullet Club helping out Shane, what if it's the Wyatts? And what if at the end, the WWE actually was listening to the universe by having, at the end of the Triple H match, Shane coming out, because he's in power now, saying, you have one more match, and out comes Bray Wyatt. Because remember, he did touch that title with Triple H.
That's true. Yeah, I could tie in.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think the thing I most agree with you on that whole theory is that it's far fetched. But I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it.
So that's a no, essentially, right?
Really, what you're hearing here, Doc, is Lazy E's like, I had this crazy dream the other night, and this is what happened.
This is what happens when you take NyQuil at about 11.
Yeah, right. So, I mean,
With all due respect, it sounds like a better finish for Battleground than WrestleMania.
Good
That's
point.
All
right, yeah.
I'll be honest with you. For me, one match I'm really looking forward to, and I think it's kind of a dark horse, but I have really been pleased with the build to this match, has been the triple threat match for the Divas title between Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks. Like, I really appreciated the build. I think they've touched on some good points, and I love the fact, and you mentioned this earlier, that the Divas are being featured in a prominent spot on WrestleMania, and we know these girls can go, so I'm expecting this match to end up being the surprise of the night, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, it would not necessarily be surprising if they ended up going out there and having a match that contends for the best of the night. You know, they've shown in the past that them three in combination can have an outstanding match together. And I mean, their chemistry is off the charts. They know each other so well. We've seen flashes of that in their television matches and in Becky Lynch's matches with Charlotte in the month of January. So the makings are there. The stage is set. If it's not the best women's match that we've seen since Trish Stratus and Mickie James 10 years ago, I would be surprised. So my expectations are pretty high for that. So it wouldn't surprise me. I guess it supposedly could surprise a lot of people, maybe the audience at large that's still not quite used to the idea of the women being in such a prominent role. It may surprise them, but I'm on board with it, and I'm with you. I think it's going to be a really, really good match. And I posted the question on social media earlier in the week, do you think it can steal the show? And a lot of the big questions that I had from my followers was, I worry about the amount of time that they may get. But I think that WWE has established a good track record over the last 7 months since the quote-unquote revolution began, where pretty consistently they're getting in that 12 to 15-minute time frame. And if they get that with those three on the WrestleMania stage, all of them are itching to get this chance, I think they could have an amazing match that we all definitely will be talking about as being a big step in the right direction for the women's division as a whole.
So, Doc, I want to know what you think about this. At the end of the match, the Wyatts come out, and Shane says there's one last match, and Bray Wyatt wins the women's title. Your thoughts?
Oh, my God.
Doc, I'm pretty sure he's going to say that after everything you say for the rest of this conversation.
Ian, what kind of maturity level do you think I'm at?
Listen, what would happen at the end of this talk with the Doc? The Wyatts come out.
And he says there's one more guest.
Oh, man. So, So now we've got the, what are your thoughts on the I almost called you. What are your thoughts,
the
Doc? Now, what are your thoughts on the fact that the tag titles seem to have gotten the shaft this year? I mean, we've got the League of Nations versus the New Day. What do you feel about the fact that they're not featuring the tag titles in this match? This is just a generic match.
Well, I think it's honestly my opinion on that will be reserved until I see how the New Day is presented. There's rumors of them having a big entrance, and if they have a big entrance and are presented as a big deal at WrestleMania, I think that will trump the tag team championships being on the line. This, to me, feels a lot like it's just a way to solidify to the biggest audience possible that the New Day are going to be a big deal, both now and moving forward into the rest of the year. They're another act like Ambrose. I would be surprised if the New Day didn't have a huge 2016 and a great 2015, but turn them babyface, unleash the merchandise train. I think these guys are going to have an outstanding year. So it doesn't really bother me at this point. I need to see what the presentation's like. If they come out like they normally do, talk for 3 minutes and have a 6-minute match where they just beat the League of Nations or, God forbid, lose, then you can ask me that question again next week, and I'll have a completely different answer.
Fair enough. Now, you got to watch out while you're there, because I mentioned to you before, Mickey is actually going to be at WrestleMania, not necessarily because she wanted to go, but because her boyfriend, we call him Murderer, he wanted to go, and he's super stoked, and she's just kind of being dragged along, kicking and screaming.
And, Doc, if you want to know who Mickey is, look throughout the crowd of 92,000 and find the one who's texting on her phone.
Yeah.
That's probably Mickey.
And she'll be with the guy who's just marking out over everything. So, you know, it'll be... So you got, if you do run into her, you definitely gotta snap a picture, and maybe, you know, you can give her a reason to get excited about this year's WrestleMania, too.
Well, what if, when Mickey is texting on her phone in the middle of WrestleMania, Bray Wyatt comes out?
No, you see, that's just stupid.
And the Doc wins. Yeah. Done.
Doc, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We know you're probably super busy getting everything planned out for WrestleMania this year. Do me one last favor. Make sure to mention your book. Let everybody know where they can find you and you know, where they need to follow you and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, you can find me on social media at the Doc LOP on Twitter. You can also friend me on Facebook, Chad Matthews. Just look for the guy, Chad Matthews, with a WrestleMania era picture. My book, The WrestleMania Era, The Book of Sports Entertainment, is actually on sale from right now through the end of WrestleMania weekend in its ebook version for $4.99. So check that out. It's a 5-star rated on Amazon. It's very popular and very well reviewed. So check it out if you haven't already. Also have a series of books that are going to start coming out,
nice,
branching off of the WrestleMania era. The first one just come out today, The Greatest Champions of the WrestleMania Era, taking a piece of what I discuss in the book at large and breaking it down a little bit further. Also check out my columns on lordsofpain.net/wrestlingheadlines.com and listen to the Doc Says podcast as well. So I got a lot of stuff going on. I thank you guys for letting me plug it.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It's always our pleasure to have you here. We love talking to you. And I actually am going to buy the WrestleMania era this weekend, and I'm going to read it to kind of get myself primed for WrestleMania. And I'm expecting there to be a plot twist at the end where Bray Wyatt comes out. And if there's not, I'm going to be really upset. Ladies and gentlemen, the Doc, Chad Matthews from lordsofpain.net. Thanks for being here, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that is going to wrap up this week's show, and the Doc will be back again next week to recap after WrestleMania,
yeah,
as well. So thank you for listening, and Mickey is usually the one to give us the website and all that information, but she's not here. So, Lazy E, you want to do it?
Actually, I have someone on Skype. It's actually the Batman prior to the one that was in this movie.
Oh, okay, terrific. So Christian Bale's Batman.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
All right, sir, thank you for taking the time to give us the website information.
Where's my podcast? If you want to find your podcast, go to afreakaccident.com.
You're surprisingly lucid and clear right now, though. You need to be more gravelly and completely ununderstandable.
Why are you trying to tell me what to do?
Is this Christian Bale or Hulk Hogan?
Oh, brother. You want to talk about Mania? That's where I'm taking Gawker for the rematch for my nudie video. But now back to Christian Bale. Go to afreakaccident.com, but you can connect on them wherever you want. Where's their Facebook? over at afreakaccident.com. Go to the menu bar and click connect. That is that simple. Afreakaccident.com. Subscribe on iTunes and leave a review.
And I'll tell you the email, too, of my best Christian Bale Batman.
That is a freak accident. Freaks at afreakaccident.com.
Yes, and afreakaccident.com is the website. So be sure to head over there. Check us out. We would love to hear from you. Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to our show this week. And we'll be back again with a brand new one again next week. And we hope you'll be back for it. For A Freak Accident, my name is Crisco.
I'm Lazy E.
I'm Ian Hunter. And we're reminding you that some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and...
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over.
No! Son of a bitch!
But if you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, A Freak Accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.